20. You want to turn there. And if it's your tradition to stand for the reading of the Word, it's up to you. If you want to stand, you're welcome to stand. But I'll only be reading one verse to start off with. Well, Josh, I appreciate your comment this morning on opening up, because it kind of goes along and reconfirmed what I had in mind. And I wish that we all could memorize Scripture. I wish I'd memorize more Scripture than what I've already got memorized in my head. I can paraphrase Scripture, but I want to get it right. And our church, if Brother John Paul hadn't told y'all already, that we've got a sign on the front of our rostrum here. It says, if it ain't King James, it ain't Bible. And you can take it for the way it's written or for what it's worth or whatever, but I believe that to be so. If it's not from the 1611, it's not true Bible. And I thank God for the true Bible this morning. Matthew 20 and verse 6. I'm just going to read one verse and we'll take off from there. And it says, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to stand before you this morning. Pray with you. What I want to look at, but I've heard message after message preached off this story right here, but what I want to look at this morning is that one question at the end of the verse. Why stand ye here idle? I look up the word. Now, like I said, I'm just a little country boy, but I like to do word searches and look up definitions to know if I get the true meaning of what a word means. And you think the little four-letter word idle would be a simple word to understand. But when I looked up the word idle, the meaning was not employed, unoccupied with business, inactive, or vicious. Now, you wouldn't think that being idle could be termed as being vicious. But let me remind you of what it says over in Genesis 6:5. This is before Noah's days. It says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And over in Jeremiah 17 and 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So, what I was wanting to get to this morning is the fact of, if you stand there idle, or you're sitting there and you don't have anything to do, sooner or later you're going to get to thinking about what I can get into. What do I need to be doing? What can I do? And a lot of times, that idle thinking, it's going to lead to something mean, something wicked, something you ought not to be doing. So, that kind of struck me odd when I saw that word, why stand you here idle, and then find out that it also could mean vicious. In the Jewish standard of time, the 11th hour would be about 5 p.m. Knowing that 5 p.m. is toward the end of the working day, either they had quit work early or they were just stirring around. They're just now getting up and moving about. Those who grew up on a farm, I'm sure most of you have been around farms up in here, just like down Tennessee. But if you grew up on a farm, you knew that you could not, there wasn't any idle time on a farm. At sowing time, you had to get the soil ready. I know people down in Tennessee that worked in the wintertime, piling that garden up, tilling it, and getting the soil ready for seed to be sown. And you go and sow the seed, and you got to cultivate it. You got to take care of the garden or the field to make sure that it produces what you want to produce. And then come harvest time, you got the crops you got to get in. And so there's not any idle time on that farm. And so there's no time for idleness in farm work. But if 5 o'clock was the evening hour, I've heard people say that we're in the Saturday evening of time. I've heard people say that we're at that midnight hour, or we're at the breaking of a dawning of a new day. And it does say over in 2 Peter 3:8 that with God, 1,000 years is one day, and one day is 1,000 years. And knowing that the earth was created 4,000 years before Christ was born, and then it's been 2,000 years since Jesus was born and lived on this earth, that would be 6 days in God's timetable, if you want to look at it that way. So, yes, somewhere or another in God's time frame, I've also heard that the Jewish calendar only has 30 days. Each one of them has only got 30 days. So on the Jewish time calendar, we may not be in the year 2015 necessarily, but God has His own timetable. And so whatever time it is in God's timetable, I do believe that we're about to approach the seventh day, whether we be at the 5 o'clock hour, midnight hour, or the dawning of the seventh day. We're close to the dawning of another day, or a seventh day for the Lord. And so the question comes up again, why do we stand here idle? Now the Bible said, why do ye stand here? But I want to put myself in there, because I'm just as guilty. I'm the blackest sheep in the whole crowd. Why do we stand here idle when there's lost souls out there dying and going to hell? There's a thing called the world death clock, and it's an estimated figure that there's 56 million people die yearly. How true that is, how accurate that is, I don't know. But if that be so, the average deaths per month is 4,679,452. The average deaths per day is 153,424.7. The average per hour is 6,392.7. The average per minute is 106 people that pass off into eternity. And per second is 1.8 people that slip off into eternity, whether they're going to death, to hell, or whether they're going to heaven. Now, I go out door knocking and visit and stuff. You can knock on doors all day long, every day. Everyone you talk to, yeah, I go to church. Can't even name the pastor's name where they say they go. And sometimes can't even think of the church that they go to, supposedly, if they go. But 8 or 9 out of 10, you knock on that door. Yeah, I go to church. I'm all right. I've been saved. I hope I'll make it. We can't go on hopes. I can't go on thinks. It's a no-so salvation. I thank God. Then 2 Timothy 1:12 says that I'll just turn over and read it to you before I stutter and mess it up. 2 Timothy, 1:12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And so it ain't, well, I think so, or I hope, or whatever. We have to know, and you can know. But what are we doing standing here idle while there's people out there lost going to hell? Is it because we're afraid? Is it because we're too shy or whatever? Do we not have any compassion about that one that is a drunkard or drug user? What about that one that's got tattoos and piercings all over them? You shun away from them because you don't want to be around them. They look repulsive to you. I've talked to people. I have worked in public service for probably about 30 years. And some of the nicer people that I've run across has been people with tattoos or body piercings. Why they're that way or choose to do all that, I don't know, except for the fact they need to be saved. And maybe there might be some out there that lived a life that they thought they had to get their body all marked up and stuff, and then got saved. I don't know. But why do we shun away from people that you can probably tell by looking at the way they act that they're not a Christian? We ought to be out there compelling them to come in and trying to witness to them and do what we can to get them into the Lord, because I do believe the rapture could happen just about at any given time. There's not a whole lot that needs to be fulfilled. That last one last soul that hasn't been saved yet, I believe the Father will look over the Son and say, "Go get your children." One last thing I want to read to you real quick is 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. It says, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If we're true Christians, we ought to have the compassion, like it says over in 1 John 3:17. If we have the compassion we ought to have toward our fellow man, then we ought to have the compassion to go and talk to them and try to win them over to the Lord. If we had the cure for cancer, then we would be doing everything and everything we could to try to get it on the market so that people could be cured of cancer. I know a lot of people in my family alone and other close relatives, one of the people who requested prayer for this morning, has got cancer. And if I had the cure for cancer, then I'd be trying to get it out there where people could get it and get help with it. But we've got the cure for the world's greatest disease right here in these pages, and we won't share it. We won't pass out a tract. We won't do anything. And like I said, I'm the blackest sheep in the bunch. Talking about that death clock, I looked at it last night, and like I said, I don't know how accurate that is, but last night at 11:45, there was an estimated 32,776,000 have passed off into eternity from January 1st to last night. Out of the estimated 56,000, so I don't know how accurate that is, but going by the counts and everything, it kind of would be kind of accurate to 56,000. But even if it's just one person out there lost going into eternity, we should be wanting to get out there and witness to that lost person. I know that there's people y'all probably work with, people you run into at the store or whatever, and will just pass by them on a day. I'm guilty of the same. Won't even say anything to them. But we need to be about the Father's business, trying to win those that are lost to the Lord.